All right, Psalm 150, the end of the Psalms, is where we're headed. And let's begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the precious gift of the Psalms, the prayer book of the church. We pray that you would help us to make all the Psalms, including this one, our own, that your word may be found on our lips. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Psalm 150. We're going to go this way today, and we're going to repeat, we're going to go back and forth. I'll do the odd-numbered verses, and have you pray the even-numbered verses, Psalm 150. And I'll not be using the Hebrew hallelujah that I have written down in the handout. We'll just do the English. Psalm 150, starting in verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens.
Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent grace.
Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp.
Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and harp.
Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals.
Let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
Praise
the Lord.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
So we've reached the end of the Psalms. I think this is our 10th, maybe 11th week in the Psalms, which is all I intended to do. So we haven't covered all of the Psalms, but here we are at the end. And Psalms 146 through 150, the last five Psalms, are called the Hallelujah Psalms or the Final Hallel. And I have a couple of questions thinking about the placement here of this Psalm. Why cap the book of Psalms like this? Why out of the 150 Psalms, and when I say cap, the Psalms are organized in a way. It's not that they were dropped from heaven in this order, or that this is the order in which they were written, but rather someone collected all these various psalms, put them together, and decided to end the psalms with Psalm 150. Why end the psalms like this? With this psalm, with these last five psalms? What do you think?
I think that's what we'll be doing.
Okay. That's what we'll be doing. All right. I think there's something really significant. You know, it helps that it's the last Sunday of the church year. We're thinking about our end, but it's going to end with praise. So it's very fitting that the Psalms themselves end with praise. Now, we've seen in the Psalms, they're not all filled with praise. You don't find every Psalm saying, praise the Lord. You have some Psalms saying, why, O Lord? Where are you, O Lord? How long, O Lord? Or, like we saw last Sunday, the imprecatory Psalms that called out God's judgment on his enemies. But it doesn't end with that. You know, God, the Psalms take us through all the whys, the wherefores, the how longs, all the pain, the suffering, the trials of this life, and they bring us to the end to pray. I think it's a beautiful way to cap the Psalms. Any other thoughts on why we end?
Whenever I see when there's a lot of instruments, I think of a marching band, and I think of King David.
Okay.
Yes, the joy that he felt. You know, dancing and praising the Lord, and there were musical instruments around him.
Yeah, so thinking when the ark entered back into Jerusalem, yeah, and David was there dancing, they were singing praise. The whole marching band welcomed the Lord to his temple. How much praise is offered in this psalm? How many times does the word praise appear?
13.
We have 13.
I have 8.
Yeah, I've got 13. Right? You've got this overflowing of praise. Every line includes the word praise in it. Right? So there's an expansiveness to the praise that's being called upon here to God. Now, notice this psalm itself is bracketed by praise. It begins with the word praise the Lord, and it ends with the word praise the Lord. Why begin and end the psalm this way? This is sometimes called an inclusio, where you begin something and you end something sort of the same way. Why begin and end the psalm in the same place? What is the effect of starting with the words praise the Lord and ending with the words praise the Lord?
Reinforce it.
Okay, it reinforces it. Yeah, absolutely.
When we began with praise, when life began with praise, and it's going to end with praise.
Okay, you can think of Genesis to Revelation. Praise at the beginning, praise at the end. Oh, you stole Dave's words. And praise sort of encompasses everything. It brackets the whole thing. I do want to draw attention to the fact that the word praise the Lord is simply the Hebrew word hallelujah. You've got it on the banners, you know, above. Hallelujah. It means praise the Lord. In Hebrew, hallelujah is praise. Yah is the divine name. Yahweh, the Lord. So every time we say hallelujah, every time we sing hallelujah, we are saying praise the Lord. In Hebrew. If you're in Living Nativity and you're not a Greek, so you can't use, I suppose you can learn some Hebrew. You can go around saying hallelujah. That'd be perfectly fine. Praise the Lord as part of your something good happens to you. A blessing comes to you while you're on set. The market gives you some food. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. Right. So it's a beautiful word of praise. I'd like to make a few connections now to the scriptures and the catechism. So turn to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. So hallelujah is an exclamation of thankful praise to the one true God. All right, Exodus 3, verses 13 through 15. This is the account of Moses when he is out in the desert and sees the burning bush, and God calls Moses to be the one to lead his people out of slavery. Exodus chapter 3, 13 to 15. You might remember that Moses is not thrilled to go and lead the people out of Egypt. So that's the context. Verse 13. Then Moses said to God, "If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations.'" What is Moses' concern? What does he think is going to happen when he goes to Egypt and tells the people he's there to lead them out of slavery? We're going to be like, "Who do you think you are? Who sent you to rescue us out of slavery?" So what am I to tell them? When they ask me, "Who is the God that sent me to you?" What am I going to say? What is the response that the Lord gives? What name does he give Moses?
I am.
Or I am who I am, or I am who I will be, or I am, what's the other?
What I am.
I am what I am, I will be what I will be, the God who is. April, wouldn't mind closing the doors, that'd be great. The God who is. The God who exists and is the foundation of everything has sent me to you. In Hebrew, I am is the word Yahweh. And basically, everywhere in the Old Testament, where the word Yahweh appears, that's when you see the word Lord with a capital L and then small caps O-R-D, calling us back here to Exodus chapter 3. So when we get to Psalm 150, and it says, "Praise the Lord," we can ask the question, who is this Lord that we are called to praise? Hallelujah, praise Yahweh. Who is Yahweh that we are called to praise? What do we know about this God? What is fundamental to the identity and character of the God who we are called to praise?
Eternal.
Okay, he's eternal, yes. What else?
Always was, always is, always will.
Okay, he's the God who was, is, and will be. He created all things. There in the beginning, there at the end, and everywhere in between. Absolutely. What else?
Say it all. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Okay, he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who made the promises to them. And he's also the God who did what for his people?
He brought them out of slavery.
He brought them out of slavery, right? This is the God, you know, we are not simply called to praise sort of a God who is out there, but we are called to praise the God who created all things and who also redeemed his people. I think I said this maybe last week. If you were to look in the Old Testament, if you were to look for the closest parallel to the death of Christ on the cross, I don't need an example like pointing ahead to the death of Christ, but the closest parallel of God's act of saving his people in the Old Testament, you'd be talking about Exodus. So the Lord is the God who rescues his people out of slavery. And we are called to praise him. And this is very different than being called to praise. To praise a God who is powerful, but maybe frighteningly so, we are called to praise a God who is powerful and at the same time who is gracious and merciful. So this is not ancient religions where they stand in fear of their gods, but rather the Christian religion in which we have a God who is transcendent over all things, but who is also gracious and merciful toward us. And we are called to praise this God. The other connection I want to make with praise the Lord, also thinking of the divine name, is this. What is the second commandment that God gives? What is the second? I'm crazy. I'm expecting an answer. Not the Lord. What is the second commandment?
You shall not take the name of the Lord that God has made.
Okay, don't take the name of the Lord. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Don't take his name in vain. What does that mean?
Use a frivolous thing.
Okay, you know, you start to be frivolous.
It really irritates me when people say, oh my God.
Right, okay. So, when someone says God, you know, calls on God, that's a word of prayer, but it's not, right? So, when we think about that second commandment, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The point is that we simply should stop using God's name. Right? The point is actually about using God's name rightly. So, how are we to use God's name? What is his name for? We are to pray to him.
Reverence and praise.
Okay, reverence and praise, yeah. In the Catechism, Luther says it this way. We should call upon him in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks. Call upon him in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks. So, the very act of praise, the act of praise that this Psalm 150 brings us into, is an act inviting us to step into using God's name rightly. Or you might say, keeping the second commandment in one of its aspects. The Lord's Prayer is similar. Hallowed be thy name. Right? That God's name is holy, but we pray in this petition that his name would be kept holy among us. So what I want to communicate here is that Psalm 150 is one of the things that the commandment would have us do. And it's one of the ways in which God's name is kept holy among us is to call upon him with praise. I wonder if we do this often enough. We do it in church, you know, the triple hallelujah before the gospel reading every Sunday. But I wonder if we do this often enough in our own lives. When you think about your life of prayer with God, how do you most often pray to him?
Probably most often is requests.
Mostly requests, which is fine. He's happy to hear our requests. He has not grown tired of you asking him for things yet. But most often we tend to turn to God, asking for help, asking for a time of need or a struggle or a trial that we're going in, and we should. We should call upon him in every trouble, but we also should call upon him in praise. And I would encourage you, as you think about this psalm today and in the week to come, especially Thanksgiving week, to think about the Psalms as something that we can pull into our lives to bring us into this praise of God. Now, I know we don't always feel like praising God, do we? Anyone 24/7 just glad to praise God all the time? No, probably not.
Jenny does.
Jenny does. Jenny does. So, you know, this is something for us to reflect on. You know, maybe our prayer life has gotten sort of small because we've restricted our prayers to calling upon Him in every trouble, but we can also praise and give thanks.
I just pray for you. Get up and get on your knees and say, glory be to the Father, to the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Okay, beginning of the day.
Beginning of the day.
On your knees, glory be to the Father, to the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's a mark of praise,
focusing the correct way.
Yeah, you begin with praise at the very beginning of the day. I like to think, in terms of our lives, when something good happens to us, it's a worthwhile practice to have on our lips either the words "thanks be to God" or "praise God." God be praised. I've got in the habit, and this is not, I'm not fishing for anything here, but I've got in the habit when someone says something complimentary about a sermon, I like to say thanks be to God. Again, I'm not fishing for compliments at all. And sometimes people may have questions or they may have other things they need to say, but rather than receiving the praise, it's His. It's His word. Praise God. Thank Him. Debbie?
I worship God and praise Him all the time. Because in nature, and I have to remind myself to praise God, not the creation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the nature of
God. Thanks to God. Right. And worship God. You don't have to worship the creation, but the creator.
Yeah, the world around us can draw us to the praise of God if we recognize that He's the one who made these things. Carl?
We served a couple years in Germany over there, and in a German phrase that we picked up recently is Erzai Gott in Yehuda, which is glory be to God in the highest. And I put that on email to people. Many times most of the time they don't know it, maybe they'll Google it or whatever, but it's just I love using it, and you probably have seen that on notes for me to you and others. Erzai Gott in Yehuda, glory be to God in the highest. Mm-hmm. It's a good one. And if nothing else, gets that person maybe to look it up.
Yeah, absolutely. So you are not allowed to use that on a living and fitting set. We will support. For
it. I was going to say, it could be a good way to witness, too.
Absolutely.
If I'm a Christian, at least something good happens to them, praise be to God.
Absolutely.
And they kind of look at you a little funny, but then they'll, the other day, they just thank God.
And when we say that, I don't mean simply in a trite way, but actually meaning it.
Right.
And I like to think of little prayers, so we can, something deep comes, the prayer of the Lord have mercy. Something good happens, thanks be to God, praise be to God. Just those little words on our lips, and it bears witness to others around us. I think about my children, right? Something bad happens, there are lots of things that come out of someone's mouth. Not all of them are going to be edifying or beneficial for me or for my children. Lord have mercy is one that they will learn also then to pray and call upon the Lord. All right, we've got a couple things I want to touch on here. Go to the back side of your sheet. Back to Psalm 150. All right, so praise the Lord. What is it that enables us to praise Him? What is it that enables us to praise Him? Dave?
Basically, it's belief in Him.
Okay. Belief in what about
Him? Well, that. Basically, what I think of belief is belief that God is and that He will do and has done what He says He will do and has done.
Okay.
Holy Spirit.
What?
Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit, moves us to praise, and it comes out of the belief that God is and that God is who He says He is. Most of all, that He is who He says He is as a gracious God. In other words, one of the things I want to get across with this is, apart from Christ, we would have no reason to praise God. God would still be great. He would still be high and mighty and powerful. But apart from Christ, we do not know the grace of God. So it is precisely because of Christ and the Holy Spirit bringing us to a knowledge of and faith in Christ that we are led to praise. This is why we can praise God even in the midst of difficult and trying times. because we know who he is and we know how he is toward us. So in this psalm, where are we called upon to praise God? Look back at the text of the psalm. Where are we called upon to praise God?
In all things.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. How is that described here?
In the sanctuary.
Okay. In his sanctuary, so we're located here on earth, praise him, and then corresponding to that, in his mighty heavens. Where? Everywhere. And everywhere in heaven and on earth, we are called and invited to praise God. Why are we invited to praise him? Or what are we invited to praise him for?
His mighty deeds.
The blessings he gives, his mighty deeds, it describes, and his excellent greatness. So the mighty deeds that he has done, the creation of the world, the exodus out of Egypt, the sending of his only begotten Son to die for us, and then according to his excellent greatness, his character that he has is a character that invites us again to praise. There's something else I want to say with that. So that verse gives us the why here in verse 3, verse 2, very briefly the why praising. The other psalms of praise that come before this also expand more on the why should we praise God. How are we called upon to praise him here?
Music, celebration.
With music and celebration, right? All these various instruments. And notice, when we hear these words, these instruments, we tend to think of the instruments we know, which they didn't have back then. I'm not sure how much they had instruments that could even be tuned well. So the Psalms, I'm sure they had some ways of doing it, but my guess is that tuning an instrument was not as easy of a thing back then, which means they might well have made a joyful noise on the instruments they had. But there's a wide variety of them. And so the words in English are corresponding kind of as close as we can to what the Hebrew instrument would have been. So trumpet, lute, harp, tambourine, and dance, strings and pipes, cymbals. Think about the different kinds of instruments. What's included here? Do you have percussion?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Do you have stringed instruments?
Yeah.
Do you have
brass?
Brass, yeah. Woodwind? Yeah, you've got all the different kinds of instruments, a whole orchestra gathered together here in praise of God. And it reminded me of both, as Betty said, David entering into the temple, but also the temple itself. When the temple was dedicated, when it was made, celebration and song was used in worship. I was struck by thinking about some Christians who actually restrict the use of instruments in worship. So there are some Christian churches to this very day who say you shouldn't use any instrumentation in worship. And I wonder what they do with a psalm like this. Maybe it was okay back then, or maybe if you had those instruments, they'd say it was okay. But I don't think this is restrictive. Usually the organ they didn't have, but it's perfectly fine for us to use the organ, which probably has a trumpet stop, and a harp stop, and a tambourine stop, and a string stop on it. So we make all these sounds for us in worship to God. And think about the very last, verse 6. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So you've got the full range of musical instruments, including the instruments that require breath, but now it invites every living thing to praise the Lord. All are invited to do so. It reminds me back in Genesis of when God created the heavens and the earth, and he made the creatures, and he made man, he gave to them the breath of life. What is our breath for?
Praise
him.
It is to praise him. Why do we have breath? It is to praise him. Fundamentally, to be in relationship with him, to make his name known. So through Christ, God has made it possible for all to do so. So this beautiful psalm kind of caps off all of the psalms that have given us numerous reasons to praise God. And there may be times in life when we don't feel inclined toward praise. This might be the right psalm for those times. Sometimes I need a psalm that's different than how I'm feeling in the moment, to pull me out of where I am. Sometimes I need a psalm that matches me, that can reflect how I'm feeling. Psalm 150 is a fabulous psalm of praise to use. Everything that has breath, taking us back to Genesis and then forward to Revelation, everything that has breath, hallelujah, praise the Lord. So any questions or comments that you've got on this psalm or the psalms? I don't expect that we've answered every single question that's possible on the psalms, but we've done a little bit of an overview of 10 or 11 of them to get a sense. Any burning questions that need to be asked?
The one thing I always think about when I praise the Lord, what do I use to repeat him? My mouth, my brain. What did he give me? My mouth, my brain. Yes.
Right. The very things we use to praise God are things that come from God himself. You use your brain and you use your mouth. Well, guess who gave you those? He did. Precisely for the sake of praising him. Luann?
And nowhere in these psalms does it say you have to sing well or that you have to play. So as long as you're singing, you play in praise of God, he'll overlook
it. It does not say praise him with a voice that's in harmony. So,
right.
You're fine. So the last thing I want to read is this quote I put at the bottom. It says, the Book of Psalms is a miniature Bible, a miniature history of God's people. It expresses all the feelings and experiences they will ever have. It is fitting that this book ends where our history and our experience will end, in the sanctuary of our God, singing joyful hallelujahs forever. For this we gladly shout, praise the Lord. Let's go back to the psalm, and let's together read Psalm 150. Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty presence. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with fine sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud crashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, may the praises in the Psalms, the praises in the church, and the praises in heaven equip us now and forever